asking if you can to pay $15 to help cover the cost of food. Yesterday, I bought a couple of cornhole games, so we'll be able to do maybe have a tournament or something. And we're gonna. There's all kinds of things. You can ask Kent about all the different things that we're going to be doing over those 3 days, two nights. It's going to be a wonderful time. Today, we're starting a new series. It's called Get in the Game. Now, I like football. Yesterday, I got to watch some of the Arkansas State. Man, Arkansas State beat Kansas State. That was pretty awesome. But I said, we got one team that can beat a Power 5 conference team. Hey, so that's exciting. I got to watch some college football yesterday. NFL started Thursday. And so I like football. You know, some of y'all may could care less about football, which is fine. But this series is kind of on a football theme since it is the start of football season. And September's always a time, especially in a normal time. I know the stands aren't near as full and tailgates not going on. And there's some things that just aren't happening that we're used to when it comes to football season. But I thought this would be a great series to kind of get us kicked off for the month of September. And this series is entitled Getting in the Game or Get in the Game. And we want to look at over these next 3 weeks, today and two more weeks, we want to look at the importance of getting in the game. What does that mean? That means serving Jesus, or as a coach would say it, giving it your 110%. You ever wondered about that? How do you give 110%? There's only 100%, right? I mean, any math genius can tell you 100% is it. How in the world do they come up with 110%? I mean, wouldn't it, if you're saying 110%, wouldn't you just add 10 more? I mean, wouldn't you just make it the equation longer or something, you know? I don't know. But, I mean, 110% is not even possible, is it? So 100%. And rather than just drifting along the sidelines, that's kind of what we're talking about. So I want to begin this series by asking you a simple question. And that question would be this. What kind of receiver are you? Now, I know that some of you may not know what a receiver is, and that's fine. I'm going to do my best to, when I use these football references, I'm going to do my best to explain what I mean and how that relates to what I'm saying. So I'm going to do my best. And so maybe you're asking, you know, what is a receiver? Well, in football, a receiver is the guy that catches the football. When a quarterback passes the ball, the guy catches the football, and a quarterback will throw the ball down the field to a receiver, and his job is to catch the ball and advance it towards the end zone and score a touchdown. So my question to you today is, what kind of receiver are you? Now, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew, and I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 13, and I want to begin reading at verse 1. Matthew chapter 13, and I want to read the first 9 verses. Now, some of you may have heard this story, but it goes like this. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. You see, when you look throughout the four Gospels, you will notice that Jesus spoke to the people in parables. Now, if you look up the word parable, it comes from the Greek word parabole, B-O-L-E, which means placing beside, as in a comparison, making a comparison. That's what Jesus was doing. He was giving a story to illustrate a point. A parable can be defined this way: a brief illustrative story that teaches a lesson or makes a specific point, usually drawing from situations or images that are common to the listener. You see, it is in this parable that we have four examples of receivers. Now, as I give you each of these examples of receivers, see if you see yourself in any of these. Now, here is something important for you to remember. Listeners must accept or catch the word of God and let it take root in their life. That's something important. Remember what I told you about receivers. What are they? They are football players that their main job is to what? Catch the football. And they want there to help move their team down the field. Now, the four examples of receivers mentioned here are the intercepted, the butterfinger, the fumbler, and the dependable. And we're going to take a look at these. We're going to look at each one, and we're going to see maybe which one you are. I hope that we all can come to a consensus that all of us want to be one particular one. The first one is the intercepted. Now, as a receiver in football, the last thing that you want to happen is for a defensive player to intercept a ball that is thrown your way. Now, how does that happen? Well, there's several things that can happen. A quarterback can throw the ball wrong, or a receiver can run the wrong route. But the worst one would have to be if both the defender and the receiver go up for the ball and the defender takes it from you. That's got to be pretty bad. But look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 19. It says this: "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path." You see, Christ speaks here about an incomplete spiritual conversion, not on God's part, but on the individual's part. One in which individuals realize they need Christ's forgiveness. However, they never really accept Christ as Lord of their lives, and they never really become part of His true church. Now, others may at first accept Christ. However, they never allow the Holy Spirit to transform their lives, completely changing and making them new. And as a result, the commitment never becomes strong enough to endure life's trials. Even if they do become part of His church, they fail to show true commitment to Christ and true separation from the ungodly beliefs and behaviors that are so common in the world. These are the intercepted receivers in this story. They allow the truth to be intercepted from their life. The second one is the butterfinger receivers. Now, of course, I'm not talking about a candy bar. How many of y'all just heard the word butterfinger and thought, oh, crispity, crunchity, butterfinger, right? And some of you are thinking, man, I hate that candy bar. But, of course, I'm not talking about a candy bar. If you look in Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, it says, "The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away." You see, this soil, it barely covers the top of hidden rock formation. The roots are quickly invigorated because of the warmth, but just as quickly decimated when the sun begins to bear heat. This salvation is superficial. There are feelings, but no faith. It is evidenced by no true repentance. There's no remorse of sin. There is no recognition of a lost condition, no contrition, no brokenness, no humility. It is shallow, and it quickly loses interest in spiritual things. A butterfinger receiver is someone who catches the ball, but then quickly bobbles it away. they can't hang on to the ball, therefore not advancing their team down the field. Now, some of you maybe know these types of people. Maybe you are even one of these types of people. They get saved, man, they're fired up for God, but then the first time trouble happens, what do? They fall apart. They're back to their old ways. They never let that change really, truly take place in their heart. And this next receiver is in many ways very similar to this one that I just explained to you, and they are the fumbler receiver. It's kind of like these guys. Go ahead and take a look at this video.
Snapper deep downfield, and that is caught at the 15, then dropped and lost. And if it's a completion, it's going to be Pittsburgh ball.
Third down receiver. McNabb loading up deep for Deshaun Jackson. He hauled it in. Oh, what? Did he get over the goal line? I saw it live, and it didn't look right, and you just can't do that.
12 or inside 30 seconds. The Eagles have no timeouts. Wait a minute. Here's a free foot. I don't believe it. The Eagles pick it up, and Herman Edwards runs it in for a touchdown.
Motion man is Andrew Hawkins, who's back in there after missing a couple of games. That ball bounces around, and it's intercepted.
Yeah, that's a fumble right there, not an interception.
Wow. To win this football. Third down, 14. The block by Gandy. Time for Stewart. Throws a pass. Caught by the rookie Burris for a first down. He found the seam.
It's live.
He was not touched.
Nobody touched it. Why?
So it's tied up by Danny Clark.
Second down and 5 from the KC 16 as Winston loses the football. And the Chiefs have recovered.
Montana quickly to Jerry Rice. And he's got some speed. He drops the ball. Rice chases it. Doesn't come up with it. Goes into the end zone. The scramble continues. And the Giants come up with it.
Manning's going to run for it. He's going to get the first down. He gets to the 40-yard line, and then as he goes down, the ball comes loose.
I mean, Eli is still here, clearly going for yardage, does not slide. Without being touched, that ball was out.
Fake it.
Toss. A drop. Samuel couldn't hold it. Ball scooped up down the sideline. Eddie Jackson.
Second down and 14. Pocket collapses again on Stafford, and he is going to pitch it. And the ball is on the ground. Minnesota scoops it up. And on his way into the end zone is Danielle Hunter. That is a touchdown.
Together here for Blake Bortles and the Jaguars. First and 10. Bortles, his hit ball came out.
No, it just came out. It just slipped out of his hand.
Are under pressure, avoids the sack, and he's going to try to run it in.
Oh, did he lose the ball?
Yeah, did he lose the ball?
And drops back, he gets time, and he throws it, it's intercepted.
Mosley on the interception, and he dives for the goal line.
It is a touchback, he lost the ball.
And a first down on the Redskins 30-yard line, and the end around, Aguilar loses it, scramble on the fumble.
To go, and he took him 75 yards. First down, spinning away, lost the ball!
Very fresh. Fumble picked off in the air by Russell Maryland.
Great at stripping the ball.
And now it's Grossman losing the handle.
And yes, the Colts get it right back.
Shocker around the league, 100-yard return, but not a touchdown out of it.
Anybody ever felt like that? Going through life and then all of a sudden you just fumbled it away? If you look at verse 22, it says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. In other words, they fumbled their faith away. They were more concerned with the things of the world instead of what God wants them to do. Now, this soul gives great appearances, but is choked out by the cares of the world. This soul lacks the proper nutrition and condition to support the good seed. A lot of people say, look at me, you know, look at how good of a Christian I am. And then what they don't realize is all the weeds they're allowing in their life so that the seed can't flourish and the weeds choke out the word of God. Now, we can't allow our outward facade to choke out the good things that God wants to do in our life. God tells you to go on a mission trip, but God, that's bad for my image. You know, God tells you to work in the food pen, but God, that's bad for my reputation. Or God tells you to be a greeter at church, but God, what will my friends think? And we let the outward appearance dictate where the seed produces, and eventually the seed gets choked out because of all the weeds. Now, I think all of us should strive for this last one. Number four is the dependable receiver. Now, the video I want to show you is probably, I believe, the greatest catch in NFL history. And unfortunately, it was against my team. However, the Cowboys did end up winning this game. Go ahead and take a look.
He's the running back. Play action. And Manning's going to heave one. There's a flag. Beckham, a one-handed catch. How in the world?
Oh, my goodness.
And Brandon Carback, I mean, he is insane. How do you make that catch?
Oh, my goodness. This is sick. Put this to music. I don't think he stepped out either. That may be the greatest catch I've ever seen.
Defense number 39. Penalties decline. Result of the play. Touchdown.
You have to be kidding me. That is impossible. That is absolutely impossible what he just did. That may be the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life.
It's in the conversation.
Wow. After being fouled. I mean, he was clearly fouled on the play. And that's clean. That's not... Oh, that's ridiculous.
I mean, he does it basically with his thumb and his forefinger. That is ridiculous.
Tom Coughlin said that young man has given all of us a lift.
That catch never gets old. That was phenomenal. Verse 23 says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces the crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, this soul has been properly prepared. It was prepared by the Holy Spirit. It was spiritually ready. With anything, soul preparation takes time. If the seed is placed in properly prepared soil, it will yield an amazing crop. This year, the family and I, we planted a garden, and some crops did better than others. And one thing I learned is that the better the soil is, the better I prepare it and move the rocks out, pull the weeds, fertilize the soil, the better the crop is. And each crop requires different processes. For this crop, I can't do the same thing that I do for this crop. But in order for that crop to be good, I have to be willing to go out every day and water and weed and pick the fruit that comes and whatever else in order to get a good crop. A dependable receiver is someone you can depend on. You know you can throw the ball to them and they're going to catch the ball. It may be a bad throw, and they are more than likely to catch the ball. They are dependable. The same thing goes with a dependable Christian. They love the Lord with all their heart. They are 100% committed to Christ. They are there when the door is open, ready to serve. They are dependable. So my question today that I asked in the beginning is still the same now. Which receiver are you? Are you the receiver that gets intercepted all the time? You say a prayer, but you never make a full commitment to follow Christ and give your entire life over to Him. Are you the receiver that's the Butterfinger receiver? You are just going through the emotions of salvation, but there was never really a true repentance. Are you the receiver that's the fumbler? You're a Christian as long as it don't get in the way of your appearance. You want the look of being a Christian, but you don't want the work that it takes to get the fruit. Or are you the receiver that is dependable? You're a Christian that is sold out and completely and wholeheartedly committed to God. And you want to see God's kingdom explode with new believers. Which one are you? That's my question. Not only to you that are here today, but to those that are also watching today. Which one are you? The church, God's kingdom. We need more dependable receivers. That's the only way that we're going to move the ball down the field for God's team. Dependable receivers are the ones that never sit on the sidelines. You know, growing up, I tried playing football in junior high. And the key word there was tried. Because I wasn't very good at it. Matter of fact, I wasn't good at all. And, you know, they would go, a guy would need a break. You know, a lot of times they'll tap their helmet saying, hey, I need a breather to come out. And the coach will pull them out and the coach will look for somebody to go take his spot. Guess who the coach never looked for? Me. It was always, you know, it's 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. We'll let Greg finish the game. Because it's already, you know, the game's already, it's already over. You know, so guess what I had to do? I had to sit on the sidelines a lot. And can I tell you that just sitting on the sidelines is no fun? I mean, even if you're bad, you still want to get in the game. Why? Because there's it's more fun. In junior high, we had an A team and a B team. And so if you were on the B team, you still got to play some games. And can I tell you that I had a lot more fun on the B team games than I did on the A team games? You know, because I actually got to play. I saw a lot more playing time. I may not have been the best out there. I may not have been the greatest out there, but I at least got to play. And you know, I enjoyed just being out on the field. Why? Because it was a lot more fun than sitting on the sidelines or just standing on the sidelines waiting for your name to be called. And see, I believe that's the exact same way that it is in the church. It's a lot more fun when you're out there working for God's kingdom and doing what God has called you to do and being who God wants you to be than it is just to sit back and say, well, I'll just sit and watch from a distance. And I'll just check on everything and make sure everything's going on all right. And if it gets down to the fourth quarter and there's only 2 minutes left, then I might get in the game. We'll just wait and see. Can I tell you it's a lot better to get in the game? It's a lot better to say, you know what, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. I want to be that dependable receiver. I want to catch the passes that come my way. Whenever God's throwing something at me, whenever God wants me to do something, when He wants me to stand up, I want to be the first to say, God, here am I. Send me. Put me out. Put me in the game, Lord. I want to get in the game. So my question is, which receiver are you? Jesus wants to be Lord of your life this morning. And if you're watching here or you're here in service with us, I want to give you a chance to change your life and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and make Him Lord of your life. Can we pray? God, I just worship You this morning. And I thank You for allowing us to come and be in this house. And God, I pray for every individual that's here either in service or here watching us live on YouTube. God, I pray that You would open up their hearts. Let them to look inside themselves, to search themselves and see what kind of receiver are they? What kind of, how have they received your word, Lord? How are they taking that seed and what are they doing with it? Are they allowing it to grow and flourish and to be exactly who you want them to be? Or are they just letting it blow by the wayside? Not being producing a crop, not producing the fruit that you want us to produce. God, I pray that you touch their hearts and lives. If there's anybody here listening to the sound of my voice that does not know you, God, I pray that they make that change today and they receive you as their Savior. God, I pray that you would move upon their hearts, touch their lives. We give you praise. I want to take a moment. If you're here this morning or you're watching this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to become that dependable receiver. It begins by accepting Christ as your Savior. You feel that there's sin in your life. You need a Savior. And when you accept Christ, I want you to know that you're committing your life to Him. You're choosing to give your life only to Christ and nothing else that the world offers. You know, Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you will be saved. That means every sin forgiven, washed away as if it never happened. You recognize that you need His grace. You need His forgiveness. You need hope this morning. You need a change. And I want you to know right now, it's not something that you can earn. You don't deserve it, but it's freely given to you. And that's why you're here today. It's time to say yes today by faith and give Him your life. And if this is you, I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I confess that I need a Savior. Today I give my heart to you. Come into my life and make me clean. I want to serve you. I give my life to you. I am no longer my own, but I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." If you said that prayer this morning, if you're at home, I want you to send us a text, 479-888-7331. We want to know about it. We want to help you in this journey. If you're here today and you said that prayer, then I want you to let somebody know. Tell somebody so that we can walk you with this journey, in this journey. God loves us so much. He cares for us. He has such great things in store for our lives. I've got, just like I promised, I've got a gift for everyone that's here. And I just want to throw them out here to you. Oh, that was a bad throw. I'm not a very good thrower. Hey, close. These are hard to catch, too, by the way. There you go. See if I can hit the back. I hit the back, just the wrong back. Here, let's try it that way. That was a nice throw. Look at that. Here you go, William. All right. Good, nice catch, Bracken. There you go. All right, everybody else, did everybody get one? If you didn't, my arm's tired. Here they are. That's just a little something, just to kind of, like I said, I wanted to have fun with this series. Next week, I want you to represent your team. I don't care who, I don't care if it's baseball, football, basketball, if it's the Razorbacks, high school, whatever it is, I want you to represent your team next Sunday. Wear a shirt or whatever, if you got a bandana or something. You know, a mask that maybe have, you know, your team on. Whatever it is, represent your team next Sunday. And we want everybody to come representing. And we're just going to have fun with it. And then in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a tailgate party after service. And so we're going to have fun. It's just going to be right out on the parking lot right after service. We'll go out there. And we're going to do the best we can to, you know, social distance and all that good stuff. But we're going to have pre-wrapped stuff for you to take and eat. So be prepared right after service. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a tailgate party. It's going to be great. So this morning, before we take up an offering, I want to just thank everyone that's given online this week. I just want to say thank you. And before you give this morning, I want to inform you that we'll be committing anything that is not designated this month to BGMC. BGMC is a way that our kids in the Assembly of God helps give to our missionaries. You've seen our kids come out every month with their little yellow buddy barrels, collecting your change, your dollars, your, you know, whatever you have to give. We're going to be taking up a special offering over the next several weeks for a missions project for the Rangers International through BGMC. So we're going to be given to BGMC, and it's going to go to Rangers International. I just want to tell you briefly some information. The one of the coolest stats, did you know that Royal Rangers is in 92 nations? That's pretty phenomenal. A lot of times we think of Royal Rangers, we just think of the work they're doing here in the States. But they are in 92 different nations around the world. Also, one of the greatest things that I heard this past Friday was in Africa, they I don't remember the whole story, so I'm not going to tell everything. But the one thing I want you to get clear is these Rangers decided they wanted to start planting churches using Rangers to plant churches in Africa. And they ended up planting 25 churches in Africa using Royal Rangers. Is that not phenomenal? I mean, you know, a lot of times we don't think of a boys' ministry going and planting churches. We think of them coming after the church has been started. But they went and started the churches. Now what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to start Ranger groups in what they call Eurasia. So it's that halfway point in between, or the ending point of Europe and the ending point of Asia, where the two meet, the two continents meet in that area around India, Sri Lanka. There's some other, I forget, the Bangladesh, and I don't remember, there was another one they had talked about. In that area, they want to start Ranger ministries. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to help them. We have 6 months, and I have said that I believe that our church could, it's a faith promise, which that means we're going to do our best to reach that goal. I've set a goal of $1,500 that I believe our church can do to help with this ministry. And it's also going to help them build a new building in Springfield for Rangers International as well. So it's kind of going to go into a pot, and it's going, wherever they can, it needs help is what they're going to do. So that's what we're going to do. And so we're going to, over the next several weeks, we're going to collect money for BGMC, which is in turn going to go to Rangers International. So if you can help, please help. However, if you want to, you can, if you'll mark your check, just RRI on the memo, that we can get it there. If you'll mark your envelopes RRI, we'll make sure it gets there. And so if it's in addition, you know, besides your tithe, the offering portion, you can mark both of them on that envelope and we'll make sure it gets there. So that's what we're going to take up money for. Next week, I'm going to try to get a video for you that I can show you a video of kind of what they're doing and what's going on with this project. And so we want you to be a part of this. And I just thought that was pretty amazing that here it is, a boys ministry that is planting churches and doing a lot of amazing things for the kingdom of God. Amen. And so I said, I want to be a part of that. And I'm hoping that you will help me and partner with our church so that we can be a part of this amazing ministry. Can we pray for this offering? David, would you please pray over this offering? I know you're way back there, but we'll do our best to hear you. Amen. As you leave today, you can go by. Our ushers are at the back. You can drop in your offering.